Much to my family's chagrin, as Ina rightly noted, I am a bachelor, a single Jewish man, which in Yiddish is a shanda. Okay, there's a couple of Jews here.
Translation, anyone?
It's a crying shame. Why? Why haven't you met anyone yet? Your standards are too high. Okay. Now I've done the jade. There's the shiks appeal, which is like, ooh, it's nice, and you bring them home, and you're like, you believe in what? No. That being said, there's some cute chickses out there. So, I've done the J-date thing, which, you know, on paper looks great, but it ends up being more of like a casting call for the Muppets. It's like Emma Lazarus wrote the plaque, like, give us your tired, your poor, your redheaded stepchildren. Bring them here. And I went to an event a few weeks ago. That was like a who's who of J-Date. It was supposed to be young Jewish professionals, and it's everyone like sipping cocktails, and they're like, everyone's looking for a husband or a wife. And naturally, I'm there because I'm, you know, would like to meet someone, but within a minute was immediately approached, and they're like, you're new here. And I just felt like I had like fresh meat tattooed on my forehead. And you know, you look around the room and you're like, I know everyone here, but I know none of them. Because you just recognize faces. And long story short, a lot of these people have been online, and I'm somewhat discouraged with the whole notion of shopping for people online, because I'm kind of a traditionalist and a fatalist, and I want to believe that women like Ina will come and fix the microphone for me.
Not at all, honey.
Is that better? We're not going there. So a few years ago, after Rosh Hashanah, a few years ago after Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, I approached my Aunt Bobby, who is the prototypical Yenta, which is another Yiddish word for has her hands in everyone's business, has an opinion about everything, has the best of intentions, but is wildly in your business. That said, she's kind of in touch with the Jewish community. And I said to her, I said, Aunt Bobby, in your dealings with other Jewish grandmothers and mothers and whatnot, if you happen to hear of a nice Jewish girl, send her my way. Not 2 weeks later, my Uncle Jack, her husband, is befelled with an intestinal condition that sends him to the hospital. It's fairly serious, and you know, it's touch and go. I get a call on my cell phone from an unknown number. I answer it, and she's like, Josh, it's Aunt Bobby. I'm like, oh my God, Aunt Bobby, how's Uncle Josh? How's Uncle Jack? Listen, it's not important. I met someone. No, really, how is he? I know it's touch and go. He's fine, I think. Are you fine, Jack? He's not answering. Okay, listen to me. She's a doctor. She's not Jewish, but Josh, when I tell you she's gorgeous, she's breathtaking. All right, what's the deal? Now I'm thinking to myself, I know how my Aunt Bobby comes across. So any woman that will rightly give her phone number to my Aunt Bobby, I'm, you know, somewhat suspect of. That said, I take the number. It's like a Friday afternoon. And I'm just like, all right, you know what? I'll give her a call because I have a little bit of time in my schedule. As Ina said, I'm, a fancy lawyer. Meh. Very fancy, actually. So I call this young lady up. She answers. We chat, and I say to her, hey, look, let's get together one night soon for a drink, and, you know, if we decide that we don't entirely hate each other, we'll go out for a bite to eat. She says, actually, I'm free tonight in like an hour, and I was like, it's kind of aggressive. Sure, why not? So I say to her, she works all the way uptown and I live downtown, and I say, look, let's meet at my place and we'll go and we'll grab a drink and then we'll step out. So I get the knock on my door, she walks in, very pretty, cute little black cocktail dress, but I am somewhat turned off by smokers. And here's the thing, like, it's one thing if you smoke. It's an entirely different thing if you make like an ashtray smoothie. Like, walked in, it was like, woof, I am cigarettes. Okay. So, we say hello. I open a bottle of wine. I pour us each a glass. Drinks it like she just stepped out of the desert. Like, that was good. And I was like, okay. Sipping it. We get to talking. You know, I'm asking her about my Uncle Jack. She's like, really? Let's not talk about colon problems. Fair enough. Someone hit it off. So I say, hey, let's go grab a bite to eat. We go to this really cool sushi place down the block from my apartment, and we're sitting there and we're talking, And at one point, I go to, we order drinks, they get delivered, I get up to go to the restroom, I come back, and she's sucking on ice cubes. And I'm like, wow, thirsty girl. This is drink number two in hour number two. So for those of you monitoring like blood alcohol content, it's not, I mean, and she was a slight little thing, but not, you know, anyhow. The level of intoxication was neither apparent nor should it have been expected. The evening goes on, we order a bunch of food, we get to talking, and you know, she's telling me her whole life story, and you know, we're connecting on some level, and you know, it's kind of a nice night. It's like an early fall night where there's like that crispness in the air, and it's one of those nights where you just want to walk and talk, and we get outside, and she says, wow. I said, yeah, you know, it's really a beautiful night. She's like, it is. Let's go back to your place. All right. So now we meander back into my place, and my apartment's kind of warm, but I have a fireplace, which, you know, is, as I'm told and come to believe, somewhat of a panty melter. So I stack the wood, you know, whoomph. Oh, and that was like the ambiance is set, it's really warm. We're talking, and she goes in for the kill. And I'm a guy, so sure. And she's very, very aggressive and very forward, and like the dress comes off like she's a 3-year-old. It's like a one's like, woo! And I was like, those are spectacular. I don't even know your last name, but you've got great boobs. So we're sitting there, and she's mounting me like, you know, it's like, you know, like that 8-second, you know, riding the cowboy, the riding the bull thing, and we're not there yet. But then she's like, you know, I want you. And, you know, we've had like 2.5 drinks. And I'm like, yeah, I want you too. So, mind you, she's a doctor. And she immediately like starts pulling me in and towards her. And I was like, whoa, you're a doctor. And I'm not properly protected here. She's like, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's not. So I, you know, do as a responsible adult does and, you know, put on some protection. And then it's on. And it's on. So we go and we have our fun for, you know, anywhere between a minute and a half and a half an hour. However you want to imagine the story. And at the end of which, you know, we're lying down, we're cuddling, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go wash the sin off because this was kind of aggressive. So I go, I hop in the shower, I come out, she's sleeping. I'm like, okay. Which is on my side of the bed. So I'm like, hey, psst. Move the fuck over. No. You know, move over. So like I slide her over a little bit and like, you know, I'm caressing her and, you know, making nice and this and that. And it's one thing when a woman is aroused, I get that. It's an entirely other thing when you have like your hands kind of down in this region and it's as though she's just robbed a bank and stuffed the money down her pants and the dye pack has gone off. You got it. So she's very aroused, and she looks at me and she's like, it's on again. And I'm like, you know, tired, I worked the whole day, but I was like, yes, absolutely, sure. So we go and it's on, and she's, you know, riding me like, you know, she's trying to save the world. And does someone want to set me up with their daughter? Is that what? Anyhow, so.
We're glad the 9-year-old didn't. No dirty words.
No dirty words yet. So now it's like, all right, this was awesome. I get up, I take another shower again, sleeping. Great, awesome, really fun night, cool. Not really my style, but you know, go with it. 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning rolls around. I open my eyes, and she's sitting up. And again, I'm like, God, those are really nice boobs. But she has a look of fear in her face. And she looks at me, and she's like, why am I naked? And I was like, what? She's like, did we have sex? Okay, not funny, not cool. This just turned into like every after-school special I've ever seen. So I try to like bring a little levity to it. I'm like, well, I guess you don't remember the clown and the donkey and the 20 other guys. And not laughing, just like fear. And I'm just like, oh my God. And now I'm like, you know, looking at the next 5 years, like the nice Jewish guy in prison. And you know, and I'm genuinely concerned for my well-being and for her mental state. And like, holy cow. Because again, 2 drinks, this girl was not intoxicated, nor was I. That was my reaction. And so then she kind of looks at me and is like, and I'm rubbing her back and I'm trying to calm her down. She's like, well, if we already did it, let's do it again. And I was like, whoo, I am not the least bit horny, but I will have sex with you because I don't want to go to prison. So we go one more time. I get up, I take a shower, I come back. Now we go to sleep. 7 o'clock in the morning rolls around. She rolls over, she kisses me again. It's like Ashtray and like Cosmo Ashtray. And I'm like, so last night was kind of crazy. She's like, I know. I get a little aggressive. I'm like, so you remember scaring the shit out of me? She's like, I never do this. I'm like, that's fine, and it's totally cool. And you know, we get up and have a really nice time, and I kiss her goodbye, and she leaves, and as though my Aunt Bobby was hiding in the closet, I get a call almost immediately. So, how was it? I'm like, Aunt Bobby, lovely girl, don't know that she's really my type. Stop, Josh, you're just too particular. I need to know what was the problem. I'm like, I'm not getting into it. I'm a gentleman. You know, what happened between us remains. I need to know. Listen, Aunt Bobby, you should really probably go for a second opinion with Uncle Jack. I'm not sure about this woman's qualifications to give medical advice. You had sex with her? She had sex with me. Three times. Long story short, young lady and I stayed in touch briefly thereafter, and my Aunt Bobby to this day still brings up the fact that, you know, she was a lovely young girl, a brilliant doctor, and she doesn't understand why I'm so choosy. So that's my story. Thank you for letting me share.